Take your Bibles, go to Revelation. We're back in Revelation tonight, been out for a couple of weeks. You understand that. Revelation 13, last time, you may or may not remember, but last time that we left off, we went through chapter 12. Chapter 12 could be called a summary of the tribulation period. We're not going to go back through it, but it finishes off in verse 17, and the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now, we're going to jump into 13, but let me finish on that last verse. You know the chapter 12, how you've got the serpent and the serpents. This woman brings forth this child. The child is Jesus. He's caught up to God. The serpent comes to make war with the woman. It's very, very clear of this timeline of the nation of Israel. Very clear, all right? At the end of it, of course, then we would be in the tribulation period in chapter 12. It would be the tribulation period. The dragon, and we've already defined the dragon, chapter 12, verse 9. He's the old serpent, the devil, Satan, deceiving the whole world. Dragon's wroth with her. And so being wroth, he makes war with was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant. Number one. There has always been a remnant of the nation of Israel through the history. When they came out of Egypt, they were a multitude. They were a nation. Then they went into the wilderness for 40 years. There was a second census. There wasn't a tremendous drop. It was pretty close as far as the number of people. But when they went into the land, they asked for a king. They began to depart from their God. You know that. They began to worship idols. You know that. And ultimately, they begin to be weeded down, if you would. If you want to know how bad it got, you go to the book of Ezra, and you read the census he gives about them coming back. And it is just a small number. It's a remnant, all right? Now, remember this. When God spoke to Jeremiah, Ezekiel, he told him, it was Ezekiel, and he told him this. I don't know if you remember this or not. Remember in Ezekiel, he said, go through the city, this man with the inkhorn, and give them a mark on their forehead. Remember that? Well, that was, of course, in the book of Ezekiel, they're being carried off, and so Babylon is now in force, but it becomes, and he's saying, there are some people here, and they grieve over this stuff. They grieve over the condition. America right now is in a mess. America, it's not even a mess anymore. I was talking to someone last night, and he made a good point. We went to make a visit with a family, and we were talking about the condition of the country. And he said, it's just bizarre. And it is. That's all you can describe it as, is just bizarre. Who would think we would live in a land that would be saying, you know, we need to consider the men and the women in our military that decide they don't want to be that. And we need to make arrangements to where we can help them to, by surgery, becoming what they want to become. And I'm thinking, what has the military, who in their right mind does that? Who in their right mind? Who in their right mind says, well, this person is a guy, but he feels like he's a girl, so he feels very awkward going into guys' restrooms. He should be able to go into women's restrooms. Who? Bizarre. The whole thing is bizarre. And you say, why is that? Well, it is because this is the spirit that worketh in the children of disobedience. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against, listen, spiritual wickedness in high places. I used to think of spiritual wickedness, I used to think high places and spiritual wickedness as being in the spiritual realm. I no longer think that. You know what I think? I think the high places are Washington, D.C. I think the high places are the capitals of the countries of the land. And it's spiritual wickedness is what's going on. Did you hear about this week about France? Macron has just, he's laid out, matter of fact, some of the younger people are upset. His popularity has dropped 13%. I'm shocked, just 13%. He's mandating, forcing they have to take a vaccine, and before they can go in to buy something or do anything, they have to be able to show evidence of the vaccine. You know, I read, it was Bill Gates, this whole thing started. He said, we have to have some kind of a tracking system to know if someone's had the vaccine or not. And if they haven't had it, they won't be able to do business. I read that article, and you know how they have these comments after the articles on the internet? There was a guy, he said, I'm not religious at all, but you have to be blind, deaf, and dumb not to understand the implications of this. When lost people get it, Satan is behind this world. He is the god of this world, the Bible says, and his subjects do his bidding, and it is absurd. I'm amazed at how blind people can be. I'm amazed at it. The fact is our education system in this country is absolutely garbage. It's not an education system. It's an indoctrination system meant to destroy kids. You say, who comes up with that? Satan. And the blind idiots that follow what he says. Amen, amen. Well, the fact is he makes war with the remnant. So they come back and they're a remnant, right? They're not many. And now they're in the land again under Ezra and Nehemiah. And then you have a time they end up, 400 years silence. Jesus Christ shows up and they end up being a remnant under the Roman Empire. But by the time Paul writes in Romans chapter 11, he makes reference. He says, has God cast away his people? Hey, note right there. When he says in Romans 11, has God cast away his people? He's not talking about New Testament believers. The whole context is the Jews. I'm telling you, if you don't get context right, you're going to get messed up. You're going to break your neck on this book. He says, has God cast away his people? God forbid. He said, there is even a remnant today according to the election of grace. So even in this day and age where Israel is blinded, there is a remnant that God's dealing with, a remnant of Jews that are getting saved. In the tribulation period, you see another remnant. And that remnant ends up being one third, according to Zechariah. He said, I'll take a third through the fire. And so you want to do the math on the worldwide population of Jews and figure out what that's going to be, but it's going to be a third. It's a remnant. That's who he's talking about. He's making war with the remnant. I've said this many times, but I believe with all my heart. There are three basic groups of Jews today when it comes to their ideologies or their political identities or beliefs. One is the Orthodox. The Orthodox Jews are very zealous, if you would, of what they call Orthodox, but they do not follow the Mosaic law. There's not a Jew in the country of Israel that I know of, if it is, it would be a private thing, that follows the Mosaic law. What they follow is the Talmud or the oral writings. When they were taken into Babylon, the leaders of the Jews, the rabbis, began to interpret law and make law, and they produced, listen, they made tradition. When they were, remember when he says, why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders there and not wash their hands before they eat? There was no law said they had to wash their hands. Well, go find it. It's not in there. That was a tradition. He said, why do you make void the commandments of God by your traditions of men? What he was talking about was the Talmud. He was talking about those things. They were practicing that oral law. You can get the Talmud today. It is absolutely, many places, wicked as can be. It's vile. It really is. But that, and what's going to happen is that remnant is going to turn back to Moses. Look what it says in the verse. It says, the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. They keep the commandments of God. I cannot emphasize enough that what God's doing, he's dealing with that Jew because the reason the Jews in the condition they are right now, the reason the Jews are in the condition they are right now is because they broke the Mosaic covenant. Take your Bibles. Go over, if you would, to the book of go to the book of Deuteronomy, please. Book of Deuteronomy, real fast. This is all part of the covenant. And he says, let's see, here we go. Let's just do this. Chapter 28 of Deuteronomy. Look at this. This is the covenant. The Mosaic covenant was not an unconditional covenant. There were conditions. God said, you got to do this. In one place, he said, I put before you blessings and cursings, life and death. What was it? You do this, you have life. You do this, you have blessings. You don't do this, you have death. You don't do this, you have a curse. In Deuteronomy 28:1, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. All these blessings shall come upon thee. Stop. When? When you observe and to do all his commandments. Verse 1. Is that right? He said, that's when you get the blessings. Drop over in the chapter if you would. Verse 15. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and take thee over. And he starts going through it. Drop down to verse 25. The Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies, and thou shalt go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them, and shalt be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth. God said, you don't obey it, I'll scatter you amongst the earth. You know what that is? That's the Mosaic Covenant. The Mosaic Covenant was more than just 600 verses. I'm trying to get you to understand that when we're in the tribulation period, we're not dealing with church-age saints. We're dealing with God dealing with the Jew again. He's not dealing with them now, with the exception of a remnant according to the election of grace. Otherwise, God's not talking. Take your Bibles, go to the book of Hosea. Book of Hosea real fast. Hosea. And Hosea is all about a people that turned away from their God. And look what God says in chapter 5 of Hosea, verse 15. Verse 15 of chapter 5, God speaking, I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face. In their affliction, they will seek me early. You tell me something. Look up here. Once the children of Israel were taken off to Babylon, they came back under Ezra and Nehemiah, right? You know, at that point, they acknowledged their wrong. It was Ezra that said, this was for our transgressions, and you not rewarded us according to our transgressions. Right? But even before Nehemiah, the book of Nehemiah is done, they're already going back into their sins. And Nehemiah is saying, remember me for the good. Remember me for the good. Lord, remember me for the good. Why? Because they're turning back. All right? When Jesus Christ shows up, they're happy with their condition with Rome. They're not looking for a Messiah. They're happy with their place. Now watch. And so, They acknowledge. When Jesus Christ showed up, did they acknowledge? Did they acknowledge their sin when Jesus Christ was on this earth? Not as a people. Did the Pharisees say, you're right, we've been wrong? Not at all. No, they did not, right? Now watch. Since Christ, has the Jews ever said, we've been wrong? No. You know when they're going to say that? Tribulation. That's when it's going to come to pass, all right? The tribulation. Now look, if you would, once again in Malachi, and that is the reason why the last thing the Lord says to them in Malachi, and then we're going to move on. Malachi chapter 4, it says in verse 1, for behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall not leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall, and ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel with the statutes and judgments. You see that? He said, you remember, the problem is they're not following it today. But in the tribulation, Revelation 12, this remnant, they're ones that keep the commandments of God. Do you realize that can't be true now? Why? Because they don't. They don't keep Moses. But they will. When they're, you've heard it, matter of fact, Matthew 24, you've read it. In Matthew 24, Jesus says, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, you that are, you flee to the mountains and get out there and run. Why? Because that's the great tribulation. That's coming. And so they're supposed to flee out there. Out there, God takes care of them. Out there, he pleads with them. And out there, they turn to him. That's the deal. That's what's going on. So anyway, that's where we're at. Now we pick up in chapter 13 of Revelation. We talked about the beast. It says, and I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, and upon the horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. All right, now we're introduced to the beast here. This is the same beast, as already said, of Daniel 7, verse 7. It's a one-world governmental system. I told you a few weeks back when we were here that a kingdom in the Bible can refer to the, if you would, the government or the nation or the kingdom, and it can refer to the king likewise. They're almost synonymous. Remember the Nebuchadnezzar's image, and you have Babylon, you got the Mede and the Persians, and you got the Grecian Empire, then the Roman Empire, and he was all concerned about it. Daniel interpreted it, and he said, O king, God hath made thee a king of kings. Behold, thou art this head, but you'd have to be blind, deaf, and dumb not to know that he's talking about Babylon. But he's talking about Nebuchadnezzar. That's the deal. And so look at this. Matter of fact, look in chapter 13. Look what it says. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads, 10 horns upon his horns, 10 crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy. Drop down, if you would, to verse 3. And I saw one of his heads. There's a personification there. But it looks like this is a one-world system. Verse 3 says that. It says, they wondered, all the world wondered after the beast. Verse 3. Verse 4, and they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? That's who? That's the world. Look in verse 8. And all that dwelt upon the earth shall worship him whose name's not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. It is a one-world system. We are on our way there. I remember years ago, we talked just naturally about the United Nations. The United Nations, at first it was the League of Nations, and there was a group called the John Birch Society. And John Birch was an advocate of the Texas Receptus line. He was absolutely against all of the corrupt versions that were coming out. But the John Birch Society put out bumper stickers. I remember seeing them. Get us out of the UN. Get us out of the UN. They were labeled as being fanatics and being radicals. They were spot on. The UN is the most ungodly, demonic organization on the face of this globe. It is. They do no good. Matter of fact, if the UN says this, then you just might as well figure this. You know what they do? They go all around the world and they send in, get ready, they're peacekeeping forces. But there's been more wars under the umbrella or the existence of the UN than world history. Yeah. You say, what is that when they say peace and safety? And so you've got this beast, and it's a one-world system, but it's also a person. Verse 2, and I beheld, which I saw, and the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth, his. You see that? It's a person. Rises out of the sea. Now, I know some that say that he's rising out of the sea, and the sea's an actual sea. I lean towards the idea that it raises up out of the sea of mankind in the same sense over in Revelation 17. This is the whore that sits on many waters, it says. And the waters thou sawest are many nations, tongues, and people. Some guys disagree with me on that, but that's what I think. I think what we're watching right now is we're watching a world system develop, if you would, out of all the nations of the world that are coming up. I talked to you about the G7, how the G7 more than one time for extended period of times had 10 heads in it. You got seven heads, I'm sorry, yeah, 10 crowns, but you got seven heads there. And I'm not saying that that is, but it's, I'm telling you, it's something like that. You know, I remember when I forgot my first or my second job, Millicron job I got when Sonia and I got married, and there was a guy in there, and the big deal where there was the Trilateral Commission. Remember the Trilateral Commission? Now it's the Bilderberg Group. And I'm not, you say, which one is it? I don't know if it's which one. They all have the same idea. The same idea is the common, simple people aren't bright enough and smart enough to run their lives. They need us to take care of them. That's what it is. It is an absolute walk away from what America was founded upon. America was founded on individual freedom and individual responsibility. Did you know, I think I've said it before, but Governor Bradford, when the pilgrims first came over, Governor Bradford made a communal garden. And he noticed that when they were reaping and working in the garden, some worked and reaped and some just sat around. But when it came to harvest time, that they all wanted some. And so the next year, he said, well, this year we're going to do different. Everybody marks off a portion of their garden. That's their garden. Whatever they get is theirs. Do you realize what he just did? He tried socialism. It didn't work. And so he introduced capitalism. That's what he did. All right. But it was based on individual responsibility. Talking to that fellow last night, had a very good visit with him and dear family. And we were talking about the lack of character today. And the lack of character is seen in someone that could go back to their job but still sit at home because they can rake in extra money from the government. I'm not trying to say this in a braggadocious way. I hope you don't think it. Fact is, today, if the government wants to give you, they're going to force it down your throat today. But I could have, from the time that boy was born, I could have signed up with SSI, and I could have gotten about $500 a month all the way through his 18th birthday. I didn't want it. You say, why? Number one, the government gives you nothing without strings attached. Isn't that right? They're going to make sure somehow or another, they say, well, you received this, you accepted that, right? And the second thing is I'm sorry, but he's not their responsibility. He's Sonia and my responsibility. And by the grace of God, we have taken care of him all these years. I'm glad. I'm frustrated that they take out $1.2 trillion or whatever it was to give money to people to bolster their income to keep an economy from falling that they sabotaged. And it really irritates the life out of me. But let's just say that we're going to try to keep them. Listen, I feel for those people. I think it's criminal that we destroyed their lives as a nation. I wish some of them had said, you can do what you want, but I'm going to work. And I wish some of the stupid businesses had said, say what you want. It's our business. We're opening doors. I wish that's what should have happened. You say, why? Because it's supposed to be a government for the people and by the people, not over the people. But we've got one now that's run awry, and it's out to control anything and everything. And they started handing those out. Okay, fine. I'm glad you're getting help. That's a blessing. But let me tell you something. When you can go back to work and you won't because you can make more money sitting at home receiving off, that's just immoral. I would say it's somebody else's money, but it's sure not ours. I don't know who they're borrowing it from. You remember Ronald Reagan? He's one of two of my favorite quoters when it comes to presidents. He said, I would say they're spending money like drunken sailors, but that would be unfair to the sailors. At least they spend their own. Amen. We have a one world system, and that one world system is out to rule everyone. It has seven head, 10 crown. We've already gone through that. The 10 crowns are mentioned in Daniel 7. The seven heads are not mentioned there, but they're mentioned here. It's the same beast. It's powered by the dragon, verse 2. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon. Now, we've already been introduced to the dragon, chapter 12, verse 9. We know who he is. But let's go a little bit further. Let me show you the stupidity of your scholars that try to make new Bibles. All right? Listen, the Bible will explain and define itself if you just read it. All right? So watch this. All right? Take your Bibles and go to Revelation, this dragon. Go to Revelation 17 real fast first. Revelation 17. In Revelation 17, it says in verse 3, so he carried me away in the spirit unto the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of the names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. There it is again. That beast is a political governmental entity. That woman is a church that believes that it's the universal church, outside of which there is no salvation, and has committed fornication with all the kings of the earth. That's who that is. But there's that beast. Okay, you got that? Okay, it's a beast sitting there again, seven heads and 10 horns, but it's powered by this dragon. Yes, take your Bibles, go to Isaiah 27. Isaiah chapter 27. I can tell you exactly who, matter of fact, you know who the dragon is, but you may or may not know that the dragon is this creature, I guess, too. 27. In 27 of Isaiah, verse 1, look what it says. In that day, the Lord with his sore and great and strong sword shall punish Leviathan, the piercing serpent, even Leviathan, that crooked serpent, and he shall slay the dragon that is in the sea. All right, now you've got a serpent there, and he's called a dragon. He's called Leviathan. The dragon's over here. It's got seven heads to it. Got 10 horns and the 7 heads. 10 crowns, 7 heads, okay? Who's this Leviathan? Leviathan's the devil. Now, I'm going to show you, all right? You say, well, how can the devil be a 7-headed dragon? How can the Son of God be a lamb? Are we okay? Just as much as the Lord Jesus Christ is a lamb, he said, I saw a lamb sitting on a throne. Now we've got him as a dragon, and you've got these 7 heads and 10 horns, and those are the, it's him, but it's him running them. It's him running the beast. I just told you. You want to know who's over America right now? The devil. You want to know who's over Canada right now? The devil. You know who runs in New Zealand? The devil. You know who's running it, running France? The devil. It's the devil running it. And those that, he's the god of this world. All right? Now, if you've got that one, take your Bibles now. If you see Leviathan there, he's a serpent. Now, take your Bibles to Revelation 20. Revelation chapter 20. In Revelation 20, look what the dragon is called. He's called it several places, but we'll look at it again. 20 verse 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. So the dragon is a serpent. The serpent's the dragon. The dragon's the devil. The serpent's the devil. They're both Satan. And he's called over here, the serpent, that crooked serpent is called Leviathan. Now, that's not hard to get. Watch how the Bible begins to show you future events if you put those together. Take your Bibles now, go to the book of Job 41. Job 41. Job chapter 41. The Lord is speaking to Job, and he begins in Job 41 verse 1. He said, canst thou draw out Leviathan with an hook? Interesting. Here's Leviathan. He asked Job, can you draw him out with a hook? Or his tongue with a cord which thou lettest down? Canst thou put an hook into his nose? Or bore his jaw through with a thorn? Will he make supplications unto thee? Will he speak soft words unto thee? Now you see where it says, he puts a, can you draw him out with a hook? Now, first of all, let me tell you what all the, you go to the NIV, ESV, all these scholarly books, all right, even I believe, honestly, I think that Schofield does it too. You know what they all say Leviathan is? He's a crocodile. Go check it out. Go check it. It's a crocodile. That's what he says. Canst thou draw Leviathan out with a hook? You know, I've seen more than one time in the bayous of Louisiana, I've seen video of guys that have gotten a crocodile or an alligator with a rope around them or a hook on them and pull them out of their hiding. So you know what? If that's a crocodile, the answer is, yeah, I can. But that's not a crocodile. That's a 7-headed dragon. That's Satan himself. And he said, and the implied question to Job is, you know, who do you think you are? He said, can you draw Leviathan out with a hook? Can you put a hook in his jaw and draw him out? The implied answer is, I can. You can't, right? Okay, have you got that? Now, go here. Take your Bibles now and go to Ezekiel 29. And now we're in history, or we're in future, but Ezekiel 29. God is pronouncing judgment in Ezekiel 29 on Egypt. Let me give you the... How many know that when Jeremiah is preaching, all of those that are scared of, all those Israelites that are scared of Nebuchadnezzar are planning to go to Egypt, right? He says, you tell them you go down there, they're going to die. You know why? Because God's going to destroy Egypt also. And that's what chapter 29 of Ezekiel is about. Look in verse 2. Son of man, set thy face against Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and prophesy against him, against all Egypt. Now, look what it says in verse 3. Speak and say, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, Pharaoh, king of Egypt, the great, what? Dragon that lieth in the midst of his rivers, which hath said, my river is mine own, and I have made it for myself. But I will put hooks in thy jaws. Oh, you see that? How many see the connection now? Now you've got Leviathan, who is the devil, and God says to Job, say, can you put a hook in his mouth and jaw? Can you draw him out? He said, I can. But now you've got a human being here. You say, why? Because guess who's behind Pharaoh? What's Pharaoh always been a type of in the Bible? What's Egypt always been a type of? The world. What's Pharaoh been a type of? The devil. He's always been a picture of the devil. And so he says, I'll put a hook and I'll draw you out. That's not the only one, though. Take your Bibles to 2 Kings 19. 2 Kings chapter 19. In 2 Kings chapter 19, look, if you would, in verse with me. Now, let me give you the background of this. 19, and I'll give you the verse in just a second, but let me give you the background. Look up here, everybody. When you get there, look up here. The history going on right here is Hezekiah. The Syrians have come down and carried the 10 northern tribes away. They've gone into captivity. Now they're knocking at the door of Judah, and Hezekiah is saying, oh, what are we going to do? And you know the story, and he prays, and Isaiah prays, and so on. And then God tells Isaiah, says, go tell Hezekiah I've heard his prayer, and tell him this. And then Isaiah tells him what's being said in this chapter. And in this chapter, if you look at look what it says in verse 21, or back in verse 20. Then Isaiah, the son of Amos, the son of Hezekiah, or sent to Hezekiah, saying, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, that which thou hast prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, I have heard. This is the word that the Lord has spoken concerning him, Sennacherib. So what he's going to go on and say, God is chewing out Sennacherib. Now go over, if you would, in the chapter to verse 28. He said, because thy rage against me and thy tumult is come up into mine ears, therefore I will put my hook in thy nose and my bridle in thy lips, and I will turn thee back by the way which thou camest. Now, look up here. You know what the Assyrian then becomes? He becomes a type of the beast, and he becomes a type of the devil. That God says, I'm going to put a hook, and I'm going to take you back. You say, but what's that got to do with the future? Take your Bibles to Ezekiel 39. Ezekiel 39. Ezekiel 38 and 39 look to me to be in reversed order. It looks like 38 is the latter war, 39 is the later war, or is the latter war, and 39 is the earlier war. But I want you to look what it says in Ezekiel 39, and this is about last days. This is about that tribulation period, if you would. It's known as the Battle of Gog and Magog, if you've heard that. Look what it says in verse 1 of 39. Therefore, thou son of man, prophesy against Gog and say, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and I will turn thee back and leave but a sixth part of thee, and will cause thee to come up from the north parts, and will bring thee upon the mountains of Israel. I think what happens is at the end days, you've got them coming up on Israel. Jesus Christ comes back. He turns them back, but only a sixth part. You say, why? Because five-sixths are dead. Now, how many remember over in 2 Kings? You got Sennacherib. He says, I'm going to put a hook in your jaw, and I'm going to send you back, right? Now watch. What happened there? The night he goes to bed, he gets up. Remember how many hundreds of thousands, like 160, 180,000 of the Assyrians were dead? Go over there, let me show it to you. Let me show it to you. Second Kings 19 again, please. 2 Kings 19. And look what he says there at the end of that. Am I right? 2 Kings 19? I think I am. Look what it says now. So he says in verse 28, I'm going to turn you back. I'm going to put a bridle in your lips. I'll turn you back by the way which thou camest. Watch how he does it. Verse 35. And it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. Now people have laughed at that because he killed all these people. Says, and when they arose in the morning, right? You know why? Because nothing there says he killed the entire army. He killed 185,000. That's plenty. You know, I bet he left a sixth. That's what I bet. And I bet that Sennacherib hobbled back with his sixth. And what's going to happen in the Great Tribulation is when they come up against Jerusalem and Jesus Christ comes back, and when he comes back and he annihilates them, does it not say the blood flows bridle high? That's got to have a lot. But you know what he does? He turns them back. He puts the hook in the mouth and he turns them back, but he takes back a sixth. And after 1,000 years, who comes up? All that remnant come up. They've grown, they've multiplied, they've criticized, they've increased their followers, and they go up at the end. You say, what's that got to do with? That's that serpent. Bible says, I already told you, go back to Revelation, Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Could I give you a real practical application on that? How many get what I'm saying? How many get that? I mean, Joe Biden is not bright enough. He doesn't have enough intellectual gray matter right now. I wrote this down. Let me tell you this. What it means is the serpent is behind the power. He was behind Hitler. He was behind Iran and is behind Iran. He was behind the Clintons, the Bushes, the Obamas, the majority of the U.S. government, the Department of Education, the Department of Health and Human Services, the majority of the news media, the United Nations, Nancy Pelosi, Joe Biden, and I would say Kamala Harris, but she doesn't do anything, so amen. What I'm telling you is they're doing the bidding of their father. They're doing the bidding of the one that gives them power. It says he gave the beast his seat. Amen. God allowance? Yes, God allowance. But understand who's behind it. Did God allow Satan to come and ruin Job's world? Yeah. But it was Satan doing it. You ought to learn from that stuff. You know what that means? That means given the allowance, Satan can mess with your health. Given the allowance, Satan can mess with weather. Was it not a storm or a wind that blew down the house that killed the kids? Who's doing that? Best I can see, it's Satan. Powerful creature. Powerful individual. He's this seven-headed dragon. I'm on the wrong chapter. Seven-headed dragon. It says in verse 3, and I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death. That's one of the seven heads. And I know this. Hold your fingers there and go to Daniel. And just let me show you something that Daniel talks about on those heads. I don't have all this ironed out, so don't expect me to. But in Daniel 7, you got a beast there in verse 7. It's the fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly. I'm in 7:7, Daniel. And it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces, stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it. And it had 10 horns. We're familiar with that. Look in verse 8. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them a little horn, before whom there were 3 of the first horn plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. Go back over, if you would, to Revelation. Look what it says in verse 5. This beast, there's one of the heads that's wounded. We'll go back to that. In verse 5 it says, and there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. I cannot explain it outside of these 10 horns. These 10 crowns seem to be 10 kings, but there's one of them that's the willful king. There's one of them that's the man of sin. There's one of them that's Antichrist. The whole beast is powered by satanic force. But there's this one that raises up, and one of these crowns, one of these heads, they're wounded unto death. It says, we're wounded to death, so he dies. And his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. You know what you have there? You have a resurrection. And boy, that's going to just draw everybody in. The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians that he'll be full of miracles and signs and wonders, and he'll deceive the whole world. I am blown away. Can I give you one thing to take away, if nothing else, tonight? I am blown away at the number of Christians that when it comes to what we believe is right and wrong, what we believe is true and false, what we believe is the Spirit of God and not the Spirit of God. This is evidence of God. This is not evidence of God. I'm amazed at how many Christians never say, now where's that in the Bible, or does the Bible back that up or prove that? I'm telling you, if you don't have a base, it's become literally second nature to me. When it comes to leading in the church, I'm thinking, okay, where is this principle in the Bible? Does the Bible back this up or not? And I'm amazed at how many Christians, that's not the way they think. Okay, you hold an opinion. Fine. We all have a right to an opinion. Is your opinion just the basis of how you feel or how you see it? Or is it true or false, right or wrong, by the Bible? I'm amazed at how we don't think like that. How many Christians I've talked to, and they hold this position or that position or that idea, and you say, but where's that in Scripture? Or is that a basis of Scripture? And they can't. I'm telling you, we're getting into times where your spiritual discernment is going to be tested. Can I please tell you that, what is that woman's name? That preacher woman. Joyce Myers. Good man. Joyce Myers, listen, well, you know, she says a lot of good things. I don't care what she says, it's not measured. Listen, Satan said some truth when he lied to Adam and Eve. God knows in the day that you eat thereof, you shall be as gods. That was true. Because after they sinned, God said within the Godhead, he said, behold, man has become as one of us, knowing good and evil. They became as gods. What does it say in Psalms? Are ye not gods, little G-O-D? Well, they said some truth. Listen, the most dangerous truth in the world is that which has a little bit of lie mixed into it. And we're coming into a day, folks, you say, well, I want to know, you know, what nations make up the beast and what the... That's not our big problem. Our big problem is we've got a day coming and I've got to navigate some very scary waters. Please understand, not everything that's spiritual is godly, but spiritual is dangerous. I remember talking to I've talked to Christians like this, where they begin to take Bible to prove something totally unscriptural or totally ungodly. There was a guy over there, I've told you about him before, he was a Mormon. And he was getting on to, you know, working your salvation, and you know, you can lose your salvation. And I was countering him, and finally he looked at me and he says, well, if that be the case, then why does the Bible say that we stand in jeopardy every hour? And at that moment, you know what I knew? I knew that I was dealing with an unclean spirit. Because he was using the Bible just as Satan used the Bible on the Mount of Temptation before Jesus Christ. They used the Bible. His angels are transformed as angels of light. Just because it looks good doesn't mean it is good. Just because they sound nice doesn't... Listen, every time someone throws a hanky, it's not the Spirit of God. I remember years ago, and I'm not saying if someone waves the hand or shouts hallelujah, I'm not saying... You know, say amen, that's good. Give a holy grunt, that's fine. You know, but there is a point to where it becomes distracting. Let's just talk about that a little bit. I remember years ago at a church that my wife and I attended, and boy, they said, well, the water got out of the banks and stuff like that and so on. And there was laying the back this way, back where Aaron was back, her and her husband always sat back there. And boy, when it get on, I know she'd cock a hand like this and she'd just go clap. I can't clap as fast as she did. And she'd scream, praise Jesus, all the way up. All right, well, seemed a little odd, seemed a little bit distracting to me. And then one time, someone came forward. I remember it came over on this side of the altar and someone was dealing with getting saved. She stepped out and she went, boom, she said, praise Jesus. And when she did, I was looking up here and the person being dealt with went, looked up like it was startled him. And I remember thinking to myself, I said, what spirit would want to distract someone at the very point of salvation? Are we all right? Not all shouting and not all running is of God. You're just going to be a stick in the mud. At least it's grounded. Amen. And no, I don't mind. Listen, sometimes I get happy. I don't shout, and you know, sometimes I'll say amen or something like that, or wave my hand a little bit. I get happy. Amen. Well, you ought to show it. There's sometimes that stuff gets distracting. I'm sitting back wondering why. That's distracting. I was at a meeting here not too long ago. A guy got up on this over here and started pacing back and forth, and I thought he's mad at everybody. He's just hollering at us. I mean, I didn't know what he wanted me to do. I'm thinking, man, tell me what you want me to do. Just back and forth. I mean, just going on like that. I couldn't understand what he was saying. I thought, man, he's in tongues too. Well, preacher, you shouldn't be hard on that. Discernment. Try the spirits to see if they be of God. That's what my Bible tells me. And we're in a day. You've got a guy that's going to get up from the dead. What would you do? Must be Jesus. It's not. It's the devil. I'm telling you what, it's a good thing that we as Christians get out of here before the tribulation period, because most of us are so gullible, we'd all take the mark thinking we're serving Jesus. Amen? You need to know something. You need to handle that book. You need to have the discernment of that book. You need to pick that book up like a litmus paper and go like that and say, let's dip it in and see if it's real or not. And if it doesn't match this, I don't care how good it feels. I don't care how good it looks. It's not of God. Amen, amen, amen. Oh, they're going to buy into it hook, line, and sinker. He's killed and he gets up. What an amazing thing. Guess what they do after that? Look what it says in verse 4. And they worship the dragon. That's what he's been after. They worship the dragon. Listen, this world has worshiped the dragon for years, but here it is plain. It is straight. They're worshiping the dragon. He's wanted worship all along. I think that there's probably satanic worship going on in high powers today. You know, there was a time where I sat back and I thought, man, that just sounds wild. I don't think it sounds wild anymore. I think there's stuff going on in high places. I think it's as wicked as can be. Let me just say this. I've heard some of the most appalling cultish type groups that are supposed to be within the high levels of government and span across all of the departments and so on like that. You know that Epstein guy? Do you know that Chief Justice Roberts was on that island? Do you know Bill Clinton was on that island? I don't believe the guy's dead. A guy that has that much dirt on somebody, I would think they'd have something set up that if something happens to me, it all gets poured out. Amen, amen. You say, why? Because I think they're corrupt and wicked is what I think. There's been enough come out of Congress where there's just been lewd, filthy stuff going on with Congress people, and you're sitting back thinking, well, I guess you weren't high enough to cover it up or have the people cover it up for you. They're wicked. Honestly, with the exception of about 10%, I think all of them need to be just ripped out of there. Amen, amen. Biden, as sure as I'm here, Biden is covered for his wicked, filthy son. And his wicked, filthy son needs to be in prison, if not worse. Amen, amen. You say, well, I think it's a little extreme. That's because it wasn't your child. Amen, amen. Are we all right? I'm not ready to get started. This one world system against God will seek to produce what God has promised through Jesus Christ. Here's the thing. Look, I'm going to read you something tonight. I don't know if you heard it or not, but the UN has a God complex, and most of all the ruling nations within the UN have the same God complex. Kind of like your doctor. You know how to offend your doctor? Just go in and tell him what's wrong with you. I live in it, but he wants me to say, what's wrong, doc? So he can, I go in and say, I think I've got this. I was trying to help him out for free. I wouldn't ask him for pay. I think this is wrong with you, doc. And I was becoming hypoglycemic. I'm not dumb. Is anybody sick and tired of all the leaders in our world somehow thinking we can't think with our brain matter? There's greater intelligence and greater common sense in middle class America than you'll find in all of the government halls. I looked at him, I said, he said, what are you here for? I said, I think I'm becoming hypoglycemic. Now, the appropriate question, why would you say that? He didn't say that. He said, you don't look hypoglycemic. What do they look like? I thought it was on the inside. You know what made him mad? He said, well, we'll do a blood test. He didn't check me for it. He did the blood test. He checked me for high cholesterol. I didn't ask him to check my cholesterol. So he called me up and said, Mr. Greer, you've got high cholesterol. I said, okay, what about the hypoglycemia? He never checked me for it. You say, why? Because I told him what was wrong with me. Made me mad. How'd I get on that? The UN had a 2021 goal. Now, here's the word you need to remember because this is driving everything today. Sustainable. That's the word. The reason why that we've got to go solar and get off of fossil fuel is sustainable. The reason why we have to reduce population is sustainable. The reason why, I mean, everything that didn't work, they didn't get there in time. So they made a new one. It's called the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development. It has 17 sustainable development goals. Number one, end poverty. Now, don't get me wrong. I think wanting to help the poor is something that God has a heart for. I do have an issue with forced mandate. Yeah, that's not charity. That's robbery. Amen, amen. In the Bible, God said, don't harvest the corners of your field. That's for the poor. All right, now watch what happens. He said they can go in and they can glean and harvest it, and then they can have their bread. He didn't say, go get it and harvest it and grind it up and bake the bread and make sure you bring some butter to them while you bring the bread to them. He didn't say that. What if they decided not to go into the field? Then they would be reduced to begging. The problem is, and this is going to sound so harsh, but the problem is we will not let people that will not get up and bear responsibility for themselves, we will not let them beg. That's the problem. Well, there is, I know, it's sad, but it's their fault. Are we all right? The fact is, Jesus said this. Well, I think we should strive to get rid of poverty. Okay, here's the verse. The poor you have with you always. Jesus said that. But I'm sure he was mistaken. Every one of these are based on a humanistic evolutionary belief. They're not based on scripture whatsoever. These people, these yo-yos, think we're going to be here 1,000 years from now. We will be, but not with them. They think it all hinges on them. Listen, you want to get someone out of poverty? Get them saved, get them in church, disciple them, and if they're saved, salvation is one of the greatest things that can happen to a man. Everywhere Christianity has come in, when it comes to a global setting or a national setting, it has always improved the nation, always. I am not talking about the type of Christianity that put people on the rack and put them in the Iron Maiden and slammed the door on them. I'm not talking about the Christianity the news media talks about. I'm talking about genuine New Testament, Bible-believing Christianity. It has always helped any country it's gone into. And by the way, can I say this since I'm on a roll here? That Christianity that put people on the rack, that Christianity that put people in the Iron Maiden and slammed it shut and impaled them, that Christianity, every country, historically, every country that they have gotten into and gained control of, they bankrupt it. Go south of the border. Take a look at Mexico. You see, the problem here goes a little bit deeper than I don't have a job. Amen. Number one, in poverty. Two, in hunger. Promote sustainable agriculture. I thought that was kind of laughable, honestly. Sustainable agriculture by making hybrid seed. Wouldn't you think that sustainable agriculture would do better with seeds that would reproduce? But it's not the first contradiction. Ensure healthy lives and promote well-being for all ages. Ensure inclusive and equitable quality education and promote lifelong learning opportunities for all. Achieve gender equality and empower all women and girls. Guys, you don't belong. Ensure availability and sustainable management of water and sanitation for all. You know how they ensure that? They control it. How about this one? Ensure access to affordable, reliable, sustainable, and modern energy for all. Ensure affordable, reliable, sustainable, and you're paying, we're $3.20 a gallon for gas right now? You say, why? That's not what we're talking about. You know how they're going to do it? They're going to control it. They're going to regulate it. You don't need all those lights. You get lights off. Hey, listen, you go to other countries, they have times of the day they get water and times of the day they get electric. Do you realize that the UN is made up mostly of poverty nations? Trying to tell the nations that, well, preacher, it's not right that we have all this. You know why we have all this? And by the way, it's going. We have all this because of the blessings of God. Well, I just think it's not. Go back to the Old Testament, to Solomon's kingdom. It was the envy of the world. You're telling me that was wrong? You know what it said? What it said is that what the God, that's what the God of heaven does for his people. He must be a powerful God. Amen, amen. I know it's not popular. They may have taken us off Facebook already. I don't know. Promote sustained, inclusive, and sustainable economic growth. Full and productive employment and decent work for all. Reduce inequality within... Do you understand? They're kind of Calvinistic. What do you mean? All doesn't mean all. It means all of the people they're talking about. You know, the Bible says that Christ died for all. Well, that's not all. That's all the elect. Well, here, all doesn't mean all. How about this one? Let's see if I can find another one. Make cities and human settlements inclusive, safe, resilient, and sustainable. Keyword, make. You know what that means? That means you're going to have a certain amount of transvestites, you're going to have a certain amount of homosexuals, and a certain amount of lesbians, and a certain amount of whatever. I mean, they've got so many letters now. GLBQZYXTY, whatever. I mean, everybody wants a letter. You know the ones don't get a letter? We don't get a letter. Where is W? You're trying to figure out what W is now, aren't you? All right. I got to finish. Take urgent action to combat climate change and its impact. In the next hundred years, God's calendar is going to be done. I could go on. Can I tell you? They've already got a magic number. We are way over the sustainable population of the world, according to them. It can't be sustained. So what do you do? I just told you the real reason why they're so jealous about abortion. I just told you the real reason. Millions that have never seen the light of this world, you say, why? Let's just let them have fun, but we can't have them have babies. So let's call it a right. Let's tell them it's a human right. And anybody that would violate that right, they're just immoral for violating that right. That's what's going on. And as sure as I'm here, you start right now. And the people that have had these vaccines, you watch over the next 10 years the infertility rate. Mark my word. And no one's liable. Oh, too bad. Well, at least you're alive. Enjoy life. You know what this is all based on? I read a book. I'm going to finish. I could really go on with this, but I got to finish, okay? I read a book several years ago. We have it in our bookstore. I've read it more than one time. I think you should too. I think it's the best material that Dr. Ruckman ever wrote. I've got most of his commentaries. I've got his Science and Philosophy, which is a good book. But the best book he ever wrote was called Sure Word of Prophecy. Originally it was called The Kingdom of Heaven versus the Kingdom of God. Every Christian ought to read that. Once you read that, you look out and say, now it makes sense. You know all that communism is some idea, someone's idea of how to bring about a perfect society. You know what? Capitalism, same thing. Every government you can come up in your head with is just somebody's idea of if we just do this, then we'll fix everything. Because all man has been trying to do is bring peace on earth and goodwill to men. And an ever-increasing income. How about this? We want everybody to have a piece of the pie, and we want an improving and a good economy, a growing, sustainable economy. How about this? Increase of his government, Jesus, and peace, there shall be no end. So there you go. Everything they're trying to do is we're going to do what the Bible says, but we're going to do it without the God of the Bible. We're going to figure out how to implant chips and robotics. We're going to see if we can't grow clones. We're going to try to increase the lifespan. I even read an article a few months ago. Will we cure death? That's what they're trying to bring about, everything that God said he would do. We'll have peace. No, you won't have peace. And you know, at the end of the age, you know what it says? You know what Jesus said? When they say peace and safety, sudden destruction comes upon them like a flood. They'll have peace for a short window, and then everything will fall apart. So, you say, that's a terrible thing. Aren't you glad that you're part of the bride of Christ, and aren't you glad that when the trumpet sounds, we get out of this mess? But at the same time I say that, there are people that I know, and they'll stay here, and they will be damned. So the joy and the hope of me getting out of here and not having to go through all this stuff is the same conviction that we must be busy about the Father's business. Amen. Let's all stand, please. Thanks for coming out tonight.